Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is Acadiana Sports Station. 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette, just after 6 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now.
I'm going to put it right on the line. Been a lot of complaints already.
Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app.
The naked man has few secrets. A flayed man, none.
Or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Reaching out with both hands, but gotta feel the kick inside.
We're all fired up on a Friday morning Sports Chat. Less than 3 hours until the weekend.
Oh, woohoo!
Finally, the weather has warmed up. Did a little running outside this morning, Cody. Well, maybe walking fast. I wouldn't say it was running by any stretch of the imagination, although humble brag. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning Sports Chat. We're in the 237 Roof Studios, powered by Lafayette Roofing. Give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 706-0111, 706-0111. Lots to go over. Cajuns baseball, Cajuns basketball, what a game last night. LSU basketball on and off the court. LSU baseball on and off the field. And LSU football, and you appreciate Ed Orgeron's honesty, but whoa. So we got to start off with Will Wade. And this is a couple of things that we've seen coming. This is not out of the blue, right? We go back last year, and it was mentioned that he was on audio tape. Then it came out, what, about 10 days ago, that said he was going to be subpoenaed. And then yesterday, we have what's on the tape that he's talking about. He's sick and tired of the offer not being accepted, apparently by Javonte Smart. It's going downhill fast. It's going downhill fast. But bear with me. I'll get to the brunt of this, okay? Let's start off in 2009-2010. Always does, right? Always goes back to Syracuse. Syracuse had the best team in the nation. They were a really good basketball team. They weren't going to overtimes six times and winning five of them. Uh-uh. They're winning by 15 or 20. Andy Routens, Arinze Anunoakwu, Wes Johnson, who was just on the Pelicans for, you know, most of the season. Brandon Trish from my high school. They were good. They're going to win the national championship. I purchased my airline tickets to Louisville. I was going to drive back and forth for to Indianapolis, so I bought my airline tickets on, a Wednesday. And then on Thursday in the first round of the NCAA, of the Big East tournament, Anunoakwu goes down. That's it. All done. Season's over. They lose to Marquette, I think, in the second round. All right, chance for Boeheim and Syracuse to win a second national championship, kind of to validate the entire career. All right, a couple of years later, they're top five all season long. They were number one for a month. They started out the season 20-0. This is not Duke we're talking about. This is not Kansas we're talking about. We're not talking about Carolina. We're talking about Syracuse. It's 20-0. They're number one in the nation for a month. They lost one game in the regular season, 31-1. They were 31-2 when they ended up losing to Cincinnati in the semis for the second round of the Big East tournament. Then they decided to sit Fab Melo. Fab Melo was this seven-footer from Brazil. He lived in South Florida. I don't even know if he went to high school there for 4 years. But he's Brazilian. He speaks Portuguese and ever so little English. So what happens? he's getting help with his papers from tutors, and apparently the tutors did a little bit more work than they should have. So this comes out, and what does Syracuse do? Sits Fab Mello down, trying to avoid NCAA violations. They sit him down. What happens? They lose in the final in the Elite Eight to Jared Bollinger and Ohio State. Probably would have gone to another Final Four, and they probably could have won the national championship. What happens after that? North Carolina having student-athletes taking fake classes. Which, by the way, that investigation went on for years and years and years, and they actually won a national championship in the meantime. Then it came out, guess what? No violations, because other students were taking the same fake classes, so it wasn't like a benefit to the student-athletes. Everyone was benefiting from fake classes at Carolina, so no violations there for Blue Blood, North Carolina, and goddammit, Roy Williams. Now we got people, and Dan O'Neill from The Athletic are coming on. Mark Schlabaugh has said the same thing. Dan Wolkin has said the same thing. Will Wade needs to sit out for the rest of the year. Are you kidding me? Like Matt Mascona said, he's not under NCAA investigation. He's not under FBI investigation. I wouldn't do that. I'm not going to sit out until after the fact, right? We all know what North Carolina did, and nothing happened to them. I don't even care that when they won the national championship, none of the kids were still in school. Too bad. As if Roy Williams didn't know what was going on. This is not a football program. This is a basketball team. And let's be honest. You don't have to know how all 15 players are doing. You really have to know about 8 to 10. Are you telling me Roy Williams didn't know, either Roy Williams or the assistant coaches didn't know verbatim when their classes were? How difficult can that be? And so nothing happens there. So now they want Will Wade to sit down? Come on. Let's hear what Will Wade, actually, this was all going on in real time yesterday. He's at a luncheon, and good for him to talking to the media, although he didn't really say much. Here was the, it all came out online while he was talking to a luncheon group yesterday, I guess at LaBerge.
Yeah, I haven't read it. I haven't read it, so I don't have any comment on that.
We'll move forward as we need to.
All right, so he hasn't read it yet. Apparently, he's the only one.
Have you been under a rock?
What was that?
Have you been under a rock?
Have you
been under a rock?
See how that works? That's interesting how that works. All right. Jacques Doucet actually asked, and you may have to go to mine, Cody, I guess. Maybe it is the number 2-1. Were you given a heads up what was going to be in it?
I knew about 20 minutes beforehand. 20, 30 minutes beforehand, I think. I didn't know what, they don't tell you what's in it.
See, I don't know if I buy that. All right. How can they ask for comment if they don't tell you what's in it? If I ask you, Cody, if I ask you, can you comment? Well, what about?
We can't tell you. Well, then no. I would try, though, probably. That's the sad thing. I would still give it a shot. That's
because you would just go into, yes, I will be at WrestleMania in Tampa in 2020.
Basically. Don't get me started, Dan. You're going to trigger me. It's too early for that.
That's where that, yeah, yes, right. I'd get a whole deal between the Monday Night Raw in Lafayette and the last Monday Night Raw where the stories were much better. Even though I didn't ask him specifically about the comment. So Will Wade was told that this was coming. He was asked for comment, all right? It didn't say that in the article. It said that Joel Leva didn't have a comment. I mean, this does not look very good for Will Wade. Let's be honest. Let's be where we are right now. This does not look good for Will Wade. It does not look good for LSU. However, I ain't sitting down until Joel Leva, who also, by the way, has had this conversation with Will Wade. Who are we kidding? As soon as Will Wade's name was mentioned as being on tapes, don't you think Joel Leva had a conversation with Will Wade? Don't you think as soon as that came out that he was going to be subpoenaed, Joel Leva had a conversation with Will Wade? And don't you think yesterday, before that luncheon, Joel Leva had a conversation with Will Wade? All right. Joel Leva can't put you in jail. He can fire you. But I wouldn't lie to the boss. I wouldn't lie to federal prosecutors. and I wouldn't lie to the NCAA. Now, a big difference here. All right, the burden of proof is much different, and he's not under investigation again. Federally, all right? So he's not in jeopardy of going to jail. And the sentences were really light for a couple of, I think, Christian Dawkins and a couple of Adidas executives. They were really, really light. Like six months to 9 months. The judge was kind of poo-pooing the whole thing. Why are you wasting my time with this? Where have the laws been broken? But it doesn't look good. And you can clearly hear, Cody. Let's hear. Do you have a Will Wade on how to deal? How's he going to deal with this with the players? Do we have that one? All right, let's hear that one.
Guys, we've handled everything very, very well so far. We talk about the bigger the game or the more noise that's out there, you've got to narrow your focus. And so we've been very good at keeping a narrow focus and narrowing our focus, thus far. And I think this will be no different.
Now, I'm no Dan Wolkin body language expert, and I don't know how lunch was, but he kind of looked nauseous when he was talking to the media. All right. We've seen petty Will Wade. All right. We've heard petty Will Wade. Petty Will Wade is awesome, right? Well, does he have something about that? Does he have something about, what about the talk?
We're about action, not talk.
We're about action, not talk. Well, in this case, there's a lot of talking going on, apparently. What was that, Cody?
We're about action, not talk here.
Well, there's a lot of talk going on. We'll see. The problem is we'll see how much action has
nitty
taken
gritty.
Place.
Nitty right. gritty.
No. We'll see how much action is taking place, right? Because right now we don't have any transactions. We don't have any cash exchanging hands, right?
And that's the death nail.
Right.
There would that be.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Here is the big deal, okay? All right. And I am not a lawyer. I don't play one on the radio. However.
I did stay at Holiday Inn Express last night.
And we've all seen numerous Law and Orders. And back in the day, L.A. Law. There are no secrets when it comes to a trial. All right? Everybody knows everything. There you go. There is no gotcha moment in a trial in terms of evidence. Questions may be, I gotcha. But there's no evidence. There's no, quote, evidence. Surprises. All right? Will Wade's attorneys will know when he takes the stand April 22nd if the federal prosecutor has, bank statements from the Smarts or recent purchases from the Smarts or, pay stubs from the Smarts type of deal. All right? There ain't going to be a surprise where the federal prosecutor is going to go to Will Wade and can you tell me about this new car that Javonte Smart's mother just bought? No. That's not going to be a surprise. No. Sorry. It's not going to be. They're going to know beforehand. Cody, I was trying to look. I don't know if you can do an advanced search on Twitter. I found one poll, but I thought we just asked a very simple question. Didn't we ask if Will Wade is going to be coaching LSU in 2019, 2020? I thought we asked that simple question. I couldn't find it. I asked if he goes to the Final Four, will he be coaching in 20 the next year? But I couldn't find the other one. I wonder if people's minds have changed. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't look good. But I ain't sitting down if I'm Will Wade in LSU. Not until Joe Oliva tells me. Not until the NCAA tells me. You can take the banners down next year. I do not care. Or maybe in 2 years or whenever they get around to it. I do not care. I do care that if they're paying players. That I do care about. All right? You're not supposed to. They should be able to. I am not one of those guys that says, pay the players. They should get paid. They should. But right now they can't. All right? Right now they can't. So, we are in a mess. LSU is in a mess. Someone tweeted me. I called out Dick Vitale yesterday because he is all aghast how disgraceful it is what's on the tape of Will Wade. But boy, he goes to the ends of the earth to protect Rick Pitino. He took a lie detector test and passed a lie detector test. Well, on what story? The one where he supposedly had an affair in an Italian restaurant? The one where they had strippers in the dorms? Or the one where they're supposedly paying the players? Where did he pass the lie detector test? And he asks, did UL, in this case Louisville, rush to judgment? So can we just slow the roll here until we find the transaction? Let's just slow the roll. Someone replied, Cody, and we'll take a break, yesterday. Let's see here. It was, as it turns out, Louisiana Class 2A Sports. Funny how this all comes up as LSU is on an SEC championship run and ranked in the top 10. Bet if LSU was 5-25 instead, we wouldn't hear anything about it. I replied, Cody, if they were 5-25, they wouldn't be doing it right. In fact, in this case, they'd be doing it wrong. You can't cheat and be bad. You know what that makes you, Cody? Tennessee!
Broom-tish.
Right? Wasn't that Jordy's Tuesday's guest or something?
Oh.
That guy's on a show clause for like 20 years.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
You know, the basketball coach formerly at Tennessee. You can't cheat and be bad.
Tyndall.
Tuesdays with Tyndall?
That's the one.
Yeah.
That's the
Jeez.
One.
Jeez. All right. Dana O'Neill from The Athletic will join us. She's kind enough, and we will be polite. She's one of those that is calling for Will Wade to take a seat. All right. Which, again, I don't think is going to happen. Gary Koch at 8 o'clock talking some golf. And we're going to let Brody Miller sleep in. Brody trying to get out of his morning hit. I can understand that at 7:45, and we certainly enjoy it. But, you know, even before I knew he was writing until midnight, which how old is he? Isn't he young? He's young, right?
I thought he was younger than me, and I'm only 28.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, yesterday was the first day of spring practice of football. Yesterday, you know, Cole Henry's taking the spot. We actually have some LSU news. So we'll let him sleep in an extra 45 minutes, and then we'll wake his butt up, all right? All right, we'll be back, all right? If we have time, we'll do Cajuns basketball. That was quite a win yesterday, Cody, and a little TMI to go with the story, all right? Back after this, 103.7 The Game. I'm not sure if I've ever seen a football move shut down faster than what happened overnight. Ian Rappaport, let's see what time he reported this. For him, this is not a fake one. Ian Rappaport, 12:32 a.m. this morning. From our breaking news segment in the wee hours of Friday morning, the Bills are working on a trade for Steelers wide receiver Antonio Brown. There are things to work out, but the deal is close to being done. Let's see what he said 15 minutes ago. Oh, he's still on it. Update from the Bills on the Antonio Brown after intense talks that went into last night. And almost getting there on trade compensation, Buffalo says they are out. Oh, the Steelers now must find another suitor. It took less than that. Before 4 o'clock, Adam Schefter said, yeah, this is not happening. That's from the NFL. All right, remember, Ian Rappaport works for the NFL Network. And the NFL was actually tweeting it out as well. Give us a call on the Arco Equipment Hotline. We're in the 237 Roof Studios, powered by Lafayette Roofing. All right, Cajuns basketball. You want a little TMI, Cody? Little TMI.
No, thank you.
Right. Yeah, you're going to get it. All right. So I went to the tap room last night and was talking with Ben. Came home, and somehow I forgot about the Cajuns basketball game. All right, it just slipped my mind. And so I was going to sit down and watch Game of Thrones. Called a friend of mine beforehand, so I'll watch Game of Thrones, go to bed around 9. All right? Went to the bathroom, and then just at that point in time remembered that the Cajuns were playing. They're playing Little Rock. Little Rock has 10 wins on the year. They've already lost to Little Rock once. And they're down by 12. How are they down by 12? Jakeenan Gant's got 5 points and 5 fouls. He's already out of the ballgame. There's 8 minutes to go. All right? Cody, before I was done going to the bathroom, they were down by 7.
A couple of three-pointers,
yeah,
I'm
well,
assuming.
They had a three-pointer and an and-one, in fact.
That'll help.
All right.
The old-fashioned way.
Then Jerikus Davis fouls out with 4 minutes left to go at the 4:09 mark.
Giddy up.
Cajuns are playing with four guards. Marcus Stroman, Cedric Russell, Hardy, and Trajan Wesley.
So we've got right. Warriors lineup.
P.J.
Here.
Hardy, all of 6'2 or 6'3, is guarding someone 6'8. And actually, it worked out because when they had a foul, no fouls to give, you still get, the 7th foul, the 8th foul, and the 9th foul. They shoot 1-on-1s, and they started missing. The Cajuns somehow go on a 18-5 run. 18-5. Hardy's hitting threes. Russell's hitting threes. Stroman's going to the basket making free throws. There is no way that the Cajuns should have won this basketball game. No way. And I was ready to rip them. Bob Marley can't sit there and tell me, App State's a good team. They were picked to finish 6th in the conference. Yeah, they got 10 wins. 2 of them are against the Cajuns. Little Rock has 10 wins. It would have been 11. 2 of them are against the Cajuns. They ain't that good. That may be the most impressive win I've ever seen the Cajuns have. There is no earthly way the Cajuns should have won that game. Down 12 on the road. Their best player on the bench, Marcus Stroman, not having a good ball game. At the time, 1-6 from the floor. And somehow they pulled it out. They got 2 steals. P.J. Hardy had a steal, and unfortunately it was blocked. And then Stroman tipped it away from the same guy. Cedric Russell makes a couple free throws. I think I tweeted out he had 35. I read the press release. It was 34. What a ball game by the Cajuns. And then quickly, ULM blows it to Arkansas State. They're actually up one. Cody, they got 3 fouls to give. Give them all. They've worked the clock down from 34 seconds to 8 seconds, right? Arkansas State's got 8 seconds to run a play. Before they inbounds the ball, ULM called for a foul. 1-1. They lose. I'm not so sure I've ever seen something along those lines. Before you throw the ball inbounds, you're getting called for a foul. So the Cajuns now tied for 5th with Coastal, which may not be the best spot in the world because if they got to play App State in their first game, that's not going to go well. Let's see if Coastal can knock off App State. All right, back after this, Dan O'Neill from The Athletic talking Will Wade and LSU, 103.7, The Game. All right, Gary Koch talking golf at 8 o'clock. We'll see if Brody Miller, LSU beat writer, football and baseball, as it turns out, that may be. Maybe a good thing for him today. We'll join us. We'll let him sleep in a little bit longer. Very happy to have Dana O'Neill with us from The Athletic. She's also the author of Long Shots, How Jay Wright Became the Best-Dressed Coach in College Basketball. Oh, no, that's not it. Jay Wright, Villanova, College Basketball's Most Unlikely Champion. Dana's on the Arco Equipment Hotline. Thanks, Dana. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you guys doing?
I appreciate you coming on. All right, so I'm a Syracuse fan, so you know this. Fab Mello was sat before the NCAA tournament because he's getting help with his papers, and he doesn't play, and they lose. They get violations anyways. UNC students, athletes, were going to fake classes. Nothing happens, and Roy Williams doesn't do anything, and they win a national championship. Now people are calling for Will Wade without actual proof, although there is a lot of talk. I get that, for him sitting down. That's what you wrote yesterday. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I mean, these cases are all a little bit different than the ones you just talked about. The NCAA is not involved here with Will Wade yet. They will be eventually, and then we can do whatever the NCAA is going to do. Right now, we're talking about a federal court, the FBI, a little bit even more important than the NCAA, I would suggest. And my only argument is just 2 things. Number one, if he goes out there, it's a debacle because he's not going to answer any questions because he can't. It's a federal investigation. And so he's going to be asked, and then the players are going to be asked about, is it going to be a distraction? Is it not a distraction? Yada, yada. That's the basic part. The other part to me is just I'm trying to imagine if someone else on campus was accused of a federal crime that involved doing something that is, against federal law and against NCAA rules or whatever, would they be allowed to coach their team, teach a course? I'm not sure what the comparison would be. And I don't think they would. I think, look, it's up to the schools right now to take action if they choose to. Everyone's waiting on the NCAA, but nothing stops the schools from saying, you know what? We need to check this out. I didn't say fire him. I just said sit
sure.
him.
Right.
That's all I'm saying.
Right, right. Well, Let me see what my response is to that. So that, you know, you're right. They get preferential treatment. We know that. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you're the, you know, the guy who's the starting quarterback gets more preferential treatment than the, you know, third string linebacker. So we know that when it comes to, you know, a little wiggle room in there for the head basketball coach. But he's not under investigation. He's a witness in this mess so far.
So, yes, he's not under investigation, but certainly the things that he's been, has been out there would certainly argue that they will lead to an NCAA violation. I'm pretty confident, right? So, you know, he's being brought up into federal court for doing something that is likely against NCAA rules. There's no way to paint this as saying, I don't believe that Will Wade was misunderstood. I just don't. And I don't understand the reluctance to at least of an administration say, you know what, if it smells a little funny, I think we ought to check it out and let you sit down for a while. People have sat coaches and players for lesser offenses. Kids miss a class and a coach says, you know what, you're sitting out. And I have no problem with that. That's a break in a team rule. I think they should do that. But people have sat out for lesser offenses than having their voice out there saying essentially they were buying players. I just don't think this is, I mean, we can look for all the outs if we want to, but why is it such a bad idea to sit him? I don't understand why it's so bad to take a moral high road on this.
Well, I would agree with that. I'm giving other examples who have not taken moral high roads, I guess. You know,
I don't think that's right. I agree with you.
You mentioned Bill Self. Nothing's happened to him. Zippo.
Yeah, I agree.
Sean Miller has sat out one game and nothing. Rick Pitino has paid the ultimate price. That may have been a laundry list of things, and that may have been the last straw at that point in time.
Yeah.
I mean, when you lose Papa John, you know you're in trouble there. you know, we're talking to Dan O'Neill from The Athletic. But, I mean, why would he sit? I can understand. You think this is going to be a self-imposed deal? I mean, they're still going to get busted whether he sits or not, right?
If the player named it Javonte Smart, yes, they're going to get busted because he was an ineligible player and things are going to come down. If that is the case, if they can prove all of that. I guess my argument is yes. I have said and written that I think Bill Self should have been sitting down. I think Sean Miller should be sitting down. I don't think, you know, to say that we shouldn't do it because nobody else is a pretty crummy argument. Like, why can't you do better? I just think it's just like, why? Look, and this is the part that drives me crazy, I think, and this is more the part that I think that needs to be mentioned. University presidents love to just sit there and wax poetic about all of their, you know, they hate athletics for breaking all these rules and all this nonsense. But when push comes to shove, they want to win games as much as anybody else. They're the ultimate hypocrites, if you ask me, because they keep hiring guys who cheat. Why? If it's supposed to be an academic institution of higher learning, is it a bad thing to take a high road and say, you know what, this isn't good. This is not representing our university well right now. Eventually the banners are going to come down and all that. So this is to me just the whole joke of what we're talking about right here. Everyone talks about they don't want to be embarrassed and all this, but when push comes to shove, they want to win a basketball game.
Well, that's in theory. That's a nice theory, right? We'd all like that, right? But even at West Point, they've had cheating scandals, right? I mean, at the places that you're not supposed to do that at all. We're talking to Dan O'Neill from The Athletic. And I would say I agree with you that just because, you know, the whataboutism, because these guys aren't doing it, then why should we? Because they're the blue bloods, right? Because people don't go after Kansas and Carolina and Duke. I'm looking at, you know, another website here. Kansas assistant caught on wiretap discussing money issues over Zion Williamson. Is Mike Krzyzewski in this mess? Where did he go to school? Where, you know, why isn't Mike Krzyzewski caught up in this mess? And what's going to happen then? And he put his head in the sand saying this stuff doesn't happen anywhere. Come on.
No, and he got called on the carpet for it, and rightly so, I think. I mean, look, I like I said, I think Bill Self should not be coaching. I think Sean Miller should not be coaching. I think Curtis Townsend should not be coaching. I don't think it's right. I really don't. And certainly the Zion Williamson thing is a little bit needs to be checked out. But I think the difference with Will Wade right now, if you want to split hairs, and I don't, I think they all should be sitting. Let me make that clear. But if people want to split hairs, they can still have some plausible deniability that TJ Gasanola said this on the stand, which, you know, theoretically he's under oath, so it should be true. But there's no quote-unquote, you know, actual words coming out of Bill Self's mouth as yet. I think it's all going to work itself out with the NCAA. I really do. Ultimately, I honestly believe, maybe I'm naive, that when the NCAA investigates all this, there are going to be a lot of coaches' suspensions and such. I just think, why wait for someone else to slap your wrist when you can do the right thing? I think it's that simple.
Well, the only problem is you can slap your wrist, and then the NCAA comes in afterwards anyways. That's what happened with Syracuse and Fab Mello. Not that I'm bitter or anything like that.
No, and I understand that, and I get the first, like, you know, why not roll the dice? I mean, look, you're right. Carolina rolled the dice.
Yeah.
And but it was that whole thing, to be honest with you, reading as backwards as that whole thing seems and still is, I knew they were never going to get punished because of the way the rule book was written, which is stupid. It's ridiculous. But that's what happened there.
But to think that Roy Williams doesn't know that they're taking fake classes, or any of the assistants doesn't know they're taking fake classes, is ridiculous.
Of course. I mean, like I said, there's so much stuff that requires a suspension of belief and all of this stuff, and I understand that. I guess I think, like, why not? Just, you know, why not be better, I guess? And maybe that's, like I said, maybe I'm being Pollyanna here.
Well, I understand where you're coming from. And, you know, someone once said, do the right thing. That rarely happens, and especially in college sports.
Sadly.
Dan O'Neill, I appreciate your time. Thanks for coming on up. You can read what she said in The Athletic. O'Neill, it's time for LSU to sit. We'll wait. I know you came into, quote, enemy territory. I appreciate your time.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye. Anyone who says, you know, I told her because she's on the East Coast, or I don't know where she is, I presume. Yeah. She could be anywhere for all I know. But when she says, can we come on earlier, you know, early on in the show, woohoo! You know. And she does. She admits that, you know, the other guy should be sitting too, and maybe not, you know, whataboutism. We got a lot of that going on in this country right now. But, you know, until Bill Self sits out, until Mike Krzyzewski sits out, until Sean Miller sits out, right? Until Roy Williams, again, I've never been around a college program. I really haven't. Been to minor league baseball, golf courses, and radio stations. But I can't imagine that a college basketball coach, someone on that staff, knows everybody's schedule. It's someone's job to know these kids go to classes. A lot of times, that's what position coaches do in football. That's their job. Make sure these guys show up in class. Part of their job anyways. Certainly to get a report card from the teacher and make sure they're there. And part of that is so they stay eligible. And so when you only have, again, 15 guys, and let's be honest, you might be worried about 10 of them. Five of them are there to use the scholarship to go to school and take advantage of that. Five or six of them may be there to, you know, get ready to go pros, and the other few are hoping to go pro. But you don't really have to worry about most of them. You only got to, you know, or you know, you don't have to worry about all of them. Maybe just two-thirds. So I don't think that Will Wade's going to sit. I don't think he should sit. I'd wait for the NCAA. But I'm not also sure he's coming back next year. All right? I don't know where he's going. And this is probably not going to end well for LSU. All right? Give us a call if you want to talk about it. 706-0111. 706-0111 on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Lots going on. In the NFL, Antonio Brown was going to the Bills and then not. And then, boy, the Redskins got their quarterback, baby. Another 8-8 season on the way. Woohoo! 103.7, the game. All right, Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Again, thanks to Dan O'Neill from The Athletic coming on. I mean, Cody, I got hits from both people. I got hits from LSU fans saying, what is she talking about? And I got hits from other people saying, I agree with her. I mean, the idea is to be better, right? I mean, nobody really wants this to come down. I know it's an SEC tradition to, you know, tattle on other teams. But no one really is this what LSU wants? Don't you want to win and do it the right way? Well, everyone else is doing it this way. Well, that's what everyone else does. You know, you would think that, it happened to Boeheim. It was a booster. It wasn't Boeheim. You know, the Fab Five, Cody, I don't know if you know this, the Fab Five was supposed to go to Syracuse. Jalen Rose and Chris Webber were going to Syracuse until the newspaper, I mean, you'd never see that in, you know, Baton Rouge or around here anyways, the newspaper, local newspaper, investigated Syracuse boosters. And I don't even know if it was all that much money. Like $100 handshakes, you know, a couple hundred bucks after a game or something like that. Back in the, you know, early 90s. And Syracuse got hit hard with that. They didn't, you know, Moton didn't go to an NCAA tournament in there somewhere along the way. They went to the Big East tournament, and they may have actually won it, but they couldn't have gone. Maybe they lost to Connecticut in the finals or Villanova in the finals. But they couldn't go. Not Boeheim's fault, but Booster's fault. And that's technically, I guess, Boeheim's fault, right? Institutional control. We'd like to do it the right way, right? You'd like to win above board. But I'm not sure how much LSU fans care, which is a little bit disappointing. A little bit disappointing. They're going to win their first SEC title, at least a share of it. There is no tiebreaker in this case. For the first time in a decade, since 2009. If they win Saturday and then they win Friday, which would be in the first round of the SEC tournament, which they should, they're going to be a 2 seed. Because then they're going to play Kentucky. Well, I guess they have to get to the semifinal. They have to get to the championship game. If they win 2 ball games and they lose to Kentucky or Tennessee, like how much are they going to go down? Well, let's see if the net has changed. The net yesterday was 13. And this thing takes forever to change compared to the RPI. Well, LSU's still 13. Games through March 6th. They haven't moved. They get a win on the road in overtime, and it hasn't moved. That tells you all you need to know. And can I tell you, what do you have? What does, remember what Will Wade said about that schedule, Cody? What did Will Wade said about his schedule?
Nitty gritty.
Yeah, he looks at the nitty gritty. Can I tell you, I had the same exact conversation with my buddy up in Rochester, big Kansas fan. He literally says the same thing.
Nitty gritty.
Because if you look at Kansas, they know how to, manipulate would not be the right word, but they schedule towards the RPI. Kansas somehow is number one in the RPI. On purpose. Intentionally. They're 18 when it comes to net. So they're not, you know. Kansas is lucky to be a 5 seed right now. RPI-wise, they're a 1 seed. Net, which is what counts, is a 5 seed. 706-0111. 706-0111. Should we try that Twitter poll again, Cody? Because that's a great Shut Up Dave poll question. All right. And again, for those of us who are just joining us, a quick recap on how the Shut Up Dave poll question came about. LSU football had just crushed Mississippi State, not necessarily offensively, but defensively. Mississippi State could do nothing. And you get a week off and you get to prepare for Alabama. So, of course, on a Monday, we're talking about Mississippi State. I'm jumping right to Alabama. And, you know, why can't we relax, Dave? Why can't we just enjoy this victory? We'll worry about Alabama later. So I brought it on myself. Shut up, Dave. Just talk about the win. We'll talk about Alabama later. Based on the Yahoo report, will coach Will Wade, get it right this time, Cody, will coach Will Wade be the LSU head coach in 2019-2020, next season? Yes, no, shut up, Dave. Perfect shut up, Dave poll question. All right? Even Larry Holder is like, you know, can't we just enjoy the season? You know? I mean, how much fun is it watching LSU basketball, right? You know what they're going to do. It's like watching Ricky Henderson trying to steal second base. You know he's going. Can't stop him. You know Trey Waters is going to the basket. Can't stop him. It's crazy. It's a lot of fun. And they should roll over Vanderbilt and maybe get some guys, some seniors on the court that haven't had a chance to play. And she's right. We talked about that, you know, 2 weeks ago, Cody, when this news came out about Will Wade going to get subpoenaed. Right, we mentioned it, right? He's going to go to Nashville. He's going to get asked there. He's going to be in the first round. He's going to get asked there. He's going to get asked before the second round. If they get to the Sweet 16, he's going to be asked there. And he's going to ask before the Elite Eight. If he gets to the Final Four, he's going to be asked again. No doubt about it. We mentioned that 2 weeks ago. Now, we will see how this goes. It is not going in the right direction for Will Wade. At the same time, I ain't sitting him until the NCAA or Joe Oliva says so. I'm certainly not doing it voluntarily. I've seen that show play out before. You can try to do the right thing and still get stuck. Right? A kid whose English is his second language and he's getting help from tutors doing papers. They sit him down and they still get violations. He didn't even play in the NCAA tournament anyways. Once they found out about it, they sat him. They lose. UNC has fake classes. They win a national championship. No problem. Not to mention it took about 3 years to investigate it. Yeah. Until Bill Self sits down, until Mike Krzyzewski sits down, until Sean Miller sits down, then there's examples. Do we have an example? Syracuse, was going nowhere, and there was some added benefits to players working at the Y. Again, I doubt that Boeheim didn't know that. Come on. And they were getting paid a little bit more than they should have. And they went to the NIT instead. And guess what? They still got hammered with violations. Here is Joe Lunardi's newest bracketology. Let's see if he's got LSU. If we can do that before the break. No, we can't. Oh, Midwest. Not in the East with Virginia. I don't see him in the Midwest. Let's see if he's in the West. No. South, which is going to be in the Duke bracket. I don't miss it. All right, we can't do it in the 30 seconds that I had. All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll find out what the news bracketology is for the Tigers. After this, Gary Koch, 8 o'clock. We'll see if Brody Miller wakes up 8:32 on the KDM Sports Station, 103.7. The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 7 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 103.7 The Game. Listen live with the 103.7 The Game mobile app or online at 103.7thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Place your bets.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Going day to day. I never knew the difference. I never cared either way. Looking for a reason. Searching for a sign. Reaching out with both hands. Feel the kick inside.
We're all fired up on a Friday morning sports chat. Less than 2 hours until the weekend. I think I'm going to go to Lake Charles tomorrow, Cody. I think we'll go see a little STM in De La Salle. UL's playing Loyola Marymount same time. I can't get back in time because there's probably going to be, a LeBerge or Golden Nugget pit stop. Let's admit it. Although if we could get Tim Fertitta on the line, is that his name, Tim Fertitta? Is it Tim? Why don't I think it's Tim?
I don't know about the first name, yeah. You got
that's the
last
owner
name,
of the Rockets and the Golden Nugget, and, let's get a little sports gambling in, Louisiana. Come on. Let's do what's important. All right, worry about the Rockets winning a championship later. Come on. 706-0111, 706-0111 is the Arco Equipment Hotline. You can give us a call. We're live in the what was it?
It's Tillman Fertitta.
Tillman.
That's why you thought it was Tim.
Okay.
It's a weird name.
Right.
Well, it's a weird name, and it sounds like it's got the Tim in it, so it's Tillman.
Well, it's not really a first name.
His name is Tillman Joseph Fertitta.
Yeah. So Tillman's a family name, apparently.
Obviously.
Maybe even mom's maiden name.
Right.
Right.
I wonder if they call him Tim.
That's usually a last name.
I wonder if they call him Tim or if they call him Tillman.
I think it's Tillman. Yeah.
Probably Mr. Fertitta. Probably.
Yes. Yeah, that's probably it. Did you see what he did?
Yeah.
The managers of, I think it's restaurant business.
Okay.
He didn't take them to the Golden Nugget in, you know, Lake Charles.
Mm-hmm.
They went out to Vegas.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Now that is a weekend trip.
That's for what he's like, you know, thank you for taking care of me.
You are welcome.
That's right. Yeah, that's not bad. Not a bad deal at all. All right, Gary Koch talking golf at 8, and we'll see if Brody Miller, who was up late last night writing, we'll let him sleep in at 8:32. And no more parade, so we'll see who's going to the crawfish boil at 8:45 as we wrap things up. Of course, we're talking about Will Wade and LSU basketball. Their Yahoo report comes out yesterday. He's not talking about it. Well, why isn't he talking about it, Cody? Where's he been? Three.
You've been under a rock?
Yeah. Yeah. So he hasn't read it yet. He's read it now, right? They're going to ask him tomorrow, if not today. He usually talks to the media before games. We'll see if he talks today. He usually has press conference before games. You know he's read it by now. Denying it to the media is one thing. Lying to investigators and on the stand is another. We told you that when he said we got subpoenaed. Just don't lie. And I guarantee you he's already had a conversation with Joe Oliva. All right? You don't think Joe Oliva's got his head in the sand. You know, la, 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 la. I don't want to hear about it. He better not. Because, you know, he's responsible for the hire. He's responsible for the hire. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111 is the Arco Equipment Hotline. Quickly, Bracketology, what do you know? The same guy who's a Kansas fan, Cody, he calls games for Buffalo basketball. And he was telling me, he's like, have I seen Buffalo and LSU matched up? I go, I don't think so. Where's Buffalo going to get matched up? Where are they going to be? Well, I don't know. It could be, you know, 4 or 5. Well, LSU is going to be a 2 or 3. Well, wouldn't you know it? In the South, in Jacksonville, LSU 3 against Yale. And Buffalo number 6 taking on Seton Hall number 11. Could be a second round matchup. We got a guest all set. We can preview. We'll be able to preview Buffalo and LSU if it gets that far.
The trick is going to be finding.
If that guy big times me, then I'm going to be pissed.
The trick will be finding a guy to help you with the Yale coverage. That'll be the trick.
You know something? It won't be.
Uh-oh.
I don't think so.
So we're going to be calling Doctor Who to talk about...
We may be able to call the Yale basketball coach.
Oh, well, look out.
Joe Jones is the head basketball coach of Yale, right?
Okay.
Been there for a while now. Let's see how long he's been there. Oh, no, that's the wrong guy. No, hold on. Maybe I know his brother. Find out. I know his brother. Who's the head basketball coach at Yale? Head Yale basketball coach. I thought it was the same guy. James Jones. James Jones is the head coach at Yale. I know his brother. His brother was the point guard at Oswego right before I got there. And he was on the bench when I got there as, like, an assistant.
There you go. Yeah. I mean,
so we'll see.
There's your end.
I got to get it, you know.
A lot of stuff's got to fall out.
That's 1 degree of separation, but, you know.
Right.
Hey, Joe, I haven't spoken to you in, 25 years. Can you hook me up with your brother?
Sure that he never gets that.
Not very much.
Probably not at Yale. Probably
right.
Not.
Not very much. But we'll see. All right, 706-0111, 706-0111, Arco Equipment Hotline. NFL news, Kirk Cousins going to Washington. That's the deal. Kirk Cousins is going. They're Super Bowl bound now. That's the last. Not Kirk Cousins. I'm sorry. No. Hold on. No.
Case
Keenum. So let's get this straight. All right. Minnesota let go Case Keenum, who led them to the NFC Championship game. replaced him with a quarterback that Washington didn't want, or didn't want to pay anyways, with Kirk Cousins. Denver went to go got Case Keenum. They don't like him. Washington is going to get the quarterback that Minnesota replaced with the Washington quarterback. Did we get all that? That was right, right? Is that that's it, right?
I believe that's what happened.
Right? That's crazy. Crazy. All right. That's nuts. Also, Antonio Brown was going to Buffalo and then was not going to Buffalo. We'll see what happens. All right. Pittsburgh wants to get this done by today. Apparently, the Saints were in. I can't imagine for very long. But doesn't everybody call? Don't you just call? Even if you're the Patriots, right? What are we looking at? No thanks. Right? I mean, if you get a player like Antonio Brown, regardless of, you know, what's coming out of his mouth, I'm going to call and find out. Right? What did the Patriots get Randy Moss for? A third-round pick? Right? You could have had Randy Moss in his prime for a second-round pick. Maybe it was a fourth. What was that? Randy Moss, Patriots trade. It was nothing. A fourth-round pick. 30 other teams were schooled by the Patriots because, you know what, they picked up the phone. So I don't mind if the Saints picked up the phone and then said, no, you want too much. Always worth a phone call. Always worth a phone call. Right? You know, don't we think that the Patriots and the Saints you try to improve the team. Right? Tyrann Mathieu, how much would you call the agent? How much are we looking at? Landon Collins, how much are we looking at? And we're just gonna do our due diligence. You may not get him, but you gotta check in on it. All right. All right, LSU baseball taking on Cal. And the 2018 Golden Spikes winner, when we say his name is Taylor Vaughn, a first baseman, who I guess apparently Coach Maneri coached him on Team USA, Andrew Vaughn's his name, sorry, and said, hey, could you cool off just a bit? And the news is that Landon Marceau is out of the rotation. Cole Henry is in. Eric Walker still pitching on Sunday. Right?
I'll have to check, I guess.
Also good news, the voice of the box, Bill Frankis is back after going through cancer surgery.
Yeah, they've got Eric Walker penciled for the start on Sunday.
Sunday, right. All right. So is this Zach Hess's last start as a Friday starter?
If you... continues a 5+ ERA. His ERA at the very least, I would say, has to go down this weekend. If it goes up again, then this might be.
So he's got to do better than 6 runs, 3 or 6 innings.
And
three
that's
earned.
I'm saying at the very least, because
it's going to go down. Well, again, it doesn't have to be that good to go down.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, it'll go down 6 innings, 3 runs. That goes down,
and that would
right?
be
a 5.5 ERA.
Would that be his best start of the season, though?
Six
innings, 3 runs?
Yeah. Remember last time Paul Maneri saying, I should have got him out after the third on a Friday night?
Well, that sounds like a middle relief guy. Like,
I should have got him out after the third. Paul Maneri said to James Moran's Tiger Rag that, you know, if we're having this conversation next week, it's a different story. I don't think he's. I think he's going to start against Kentucky, and then he's had 5 starts. Then that's a third of the season, ish. All right, and Landon Marceau is coming out of the bullpen. I don't even know if he's going to start next week. So LSU changed the rotation. Did we get a? Let's see here. I should read these things. Preview, Josh Bruner. Let's see what he says. UL is all settled. Gunnar Leger, Dalton Horton, and Austin Perrin. are starting in order. That's the, I'd say, first time that's happened. It's only the fourth weekend, right? So the first weekend it changed after the second weekend. And the second weekend it changed after the third weekend. This is the fourth weekend. So Leger is still looking for his first win, actually. Dalton Horton coming off at one point in time, 5 1/3 perfect innings before giving up some runs. And Austin Perrin in his last outing gave up 1 run in 6 innings. Pretty good. All right. Cajuns have won 4 straight. And the bats have come alive. Tonight, first pitch, 6:30. We will be there to cover it. All right. If you want to give us calls, we have time to do that in this hour. Gary Koch coming on at 8, talking golf. And Brody Miller, 8:32. We'll let the kid sleep in. Needs his beauty sleep, I guess. We'll be back after this. 1037, the game. Well, don't see this kind of news very often, Cody. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a Fired Up Friday Morning Sports Chat. Gary Koch at 8. Brody Miller, LSU beat writer. We'll be talking football and baseball with him. A plane carrying University of Michigan basketball team in 2017 had already reached a critical speed, and with pilots could no longer stop it on the runway, the captain abandoned the takeoff, surprising the pilot in the next seat. The plane hurtled 950 feet past the end of the runway, tore through a chain-link fence, and crossed a paved road before stopping. The captain's last-second decision to not do the takeoff in the incident might have prevented a disaster, safety officials said on Thursday. These two pilots did everything right after things started to go very wrong. In its report on the accident, Ypsilanti Township, Michigan, that's where the accident happened, the board determined that a jammed part prevented pilots from tilting the nose of their jet upward during takeoff. The pilots, however, had no way of knowing that until they were speeding down the runway at 158 miles per hour. How many seconds do they have to make that decision, Cody? What do you got? Is this less than 5 seconds?
How long? What are we talking again?
We're talking about an airplane trying to take off.
I mean, I'm just wondering, at 158 miles an hour, how long the runway is.
I mean,
less than a mile, half a mile.
How long does it take to take off an airplane? Are you taking off? Are you? When you make that final turn, right?
Yeah. What is that? 10 seconds?
Ready for takeoff?
Yeah.
Are you actually rolling for 10 seconds?
Maybe not.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not.
That's a 5 second decision, right?
Woo.
Maybe in a bit of 2 or 3. The 110 passengers and 6 crew members used emergency chutes to escape. The plane operated was heavily damaged after the accident. The pilots faced criticism for not doing the takeoff after the plane reached the speed at which pilots must commit to takeoff or almost certainly overshoot the runway, even with heavy braking. The captain, Mark Radloff, told investigators that when he tried to tilt the plane upward, it felt heavy as if there were a stack of bricks on the nose.
Mm.
The thing is not flying, Radloff said to Andreas Grucius, who was instructing Radloff on the plane. Radloff saw a chain-link fence in the distance and didn't think the plane could clear it. Abort, abort, abort. Later, Grucius told Radloff he wasn't supposed to abandon the takeoff at such a high speed. With a different pilot on this airplane, there may have been people hurt or even killed. All we lost was the airplane. Don't hear that too often.
No, you know. You
usually hear the opposite. All right. 706-0111, 706-0111 again. Did you put up the Twitter poll question?
I did.
All right. Based on the Yahoo report, will Coach Wade be coaching, that's easier to say, LSU basketball in 2019-2020, next year? You know what? I'm going to say no. I'm going to say no. It's a great Shut Up Dave poll question, and no one has voted on that yet. 36% say yes. The Cajuns fans, 64% say no. I learned that lesson the other way. All right, we'll see. All right. Cajuns basketball with an improbable victory, even more so than that game against Georgia State or any overtime victory that they've had. They're down 12 with no Joaquin and Gant. Down 12 with no Joaquin and Gant. Before Schultz got off the toilet, they're down 7. TMI, sorry. Right? And they kept on hitting threes. They lose Jericus Davis at the four-minute mark. They're playing with four guards. Stroman, P.J. Hardy, Cedric Russell. He had 34 points. And Marcus Stroman, who we got? And Trajan Wesley. So Stroman, Wesley, Russell, and Hardy. They're on the court for the last 4 minutes. And you know, they have some big guys. P.J. Hardy's covering somebody that's like 6'8". And poked the ball away from him. So did Stroman. Up at the top of the key, Hardy got blocked on a dunk. I thought it was a foul when it happened. It ended up being looking like a good call. They hit free throws, most of them anyways, and Little Rock did not. How you blow a 12-point lead with the other team's best player not there and playing with four guards is unbelievable. Cody, they're rotating the ball. They're running their offensive sets. What are they doing? They're taking threes. There's Justin Miller on the court. That's it. In terms of height, nobody else has any height on the court for the Cajuns. Nothing. They win 77-72. Couldn't believe it. Hardy made some big threes. Stroman going to the bucket. I could not believe it. Let's see what the box score is here. Basically saved their season, or else they were in danger of, a play-in game on the road even. They go to 18-12. Cedric Russell, 34 points. Let's see what P.J. Hardy had. Gant played 13 minutes, 5 points, 3 rebounds. Nothing. Hardy in 32 minutes, 15 points. Cedric Russell, 34 points. Even Stroman only had 8 points, and he missed from free throws, 2 of 5. Cedric Russell, 9 for 11 from the line. The bench, Jericus Davis, 4 for 11, but he fouled out. He had 8 points, 6 rebounds, which isn't awful in 19 minutes. Trajan Wesley, nothing, 2 assists, but he's out there. Even Lafayette, the skinny freshman, he had 2 points. He had a bucket, but that was before I saw it. Stroman played all 40 minutes. He's exhausted. Although at the end of the ball game, to be honest with you, they were standing around milking the clock because they needed to. Goodness gracious. So the Cajuns win the ball game 77-72, and then just after that, ULM blows it. ULM takes the lead over Arkansas State by 1. They only have 3 fouls left. There's 34 seconds left in the ball game. They only have 3 team fouls. They gave away all of them. 4-team, 5-team, 6-team. Now there's 8 seconds left. Arkansas State needs to inbounds the ball right in front of one of the benches, their own bench. I'm hearing the color guy say, Arkansas State needs to run something. They don't have much time. And before I could turn around to watch, ULM commits a foul. I need to hear the end of that ball game. Hear our buddy Nick White call that one. That would have been bad. All right, Arkansas State ends up winning the ballgame. ULM actually traveled at the end and didn't get called, but they misfired anyway. All right, again, Gary Koch at 8, Brody Miller 8:32, we hope. We'll be back. More Sports Chat, 103.7, The Game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz. Fired up Friday morning Sports Chat. Tried to find the audio of last night's end of the ballgame for ULM. And you know what I found? Goodness gracious, this is hazard. You go to their website, ulmwarhawks.com. Cody, this is bad. Sports, it's fine. Tickets, it's fine. Fans, that's fine. Not on there either. Department, that's fine. Warhawk Club, that's fine. Shop, that's fine. The last thing, or the second to last thing before donate, NCAA case. And I'm thinking, all right, this could be what, you know, I am, you know. There's always a bright side to it, right? Because it seems like it's obvious. I'm like, well, maybe they've won some trophies somewhere along the way. And this is what our case looks like. No, that's not it. No. Former Louisiana Monroe assistant basketball coach engaged in academic misconduct. Press release from the NCAA, August 17th, 2018. Do you give him credit for putting it out there? I also heard, you know, for us more mature people, Cody, Roger Twibel was doing the Arkansas State-ULM game last night on TV. Roger Twibel is like one of the original, almost, ESPN guys. I worked with Roger Twibel a couple of times, and when I say I worked with him, I was the one picking him up from the airport. I was the one taking him from the stadium at Cal to the hotel. When I say I worked with him, that's what it was. That's like 1993. And that's like 1993. All right, let's see the Twitter poll question. It's the Shut Up Dave poll question. Will Coach Will Wade be coaching LSU next season? I said no. I think he should stay now until you have more evidence than him just talking. He keeps on coaching as far as I'm concerned. I understand what Dana O'Neill is saying. Be better, right? Do the right thing. When was the last time that happened, Cody? When was the last time a college did the right thing, right? Can we name one? I mean, didn't UL try to do the right thing, right? They fired the recruiting guy who was busted for the test cheating, which, you know, he had done before. Right. Although unbeknownst to HUD, right, HUD was not found guilty in any of that. But, you know, they tried to do the right thing by penalizing themselves. They still got busted for it. Based on the Yahoo report, will Coach Will Wade be the head coach of LSU men's basketball team next season? 59% say no. 37% say yes. Only 4% telling me to shut up.
I mean, the LSU fan in me wants to say yes, but I don't know.
What do you think is going to happen at the trial? There's the next Shut Up Dave poll question. What do you think is going to happen?
I mean, I guess we'll find out what exactly is on the tape.
So let's do, well, we found that out.
Do we know, like, have we heard the tape or do we just know?
No, it's a bunch of expletives.
But I guess once the trial's out, I guess maybe they'll.
We have a transcript of the tape.
So you have a transcript of it?
Yes.
So,
So let's try this. What do you think is going to happen when Will Wade takes the stand? Deny, which is one way of going about it. Another word for that may be lie, but we'll just say deny for now. Admit NCAA violations or take the fifth. Shut up, Dave. Those are three good ones, right? Deny any wrongdoing. Admit NCAA violations or take the fifth. And that'd be very interesting. We said a couple weeks ago when he was handed the subpoena or that the subpoenas were coming, do not lie on the stand. That's where you get in trouble, all right? If you broke NCAA rules, people bounce back from that all the time. Boeheim's bounced back from it, although he didn't break them. Syracuse has a couple of times. Jerry Tarkanian bounced back numerous times. You know, isn't everybody in the SEC? Bruce Pearl bounced back. Didn't Bruce Pearl, I mean, think about what we're talking about here. Didn't Bruce Pearl lie about recruits at a barbecue at his house? Wasn't that what it is? And so when you're a player, you can do the barbecue at your house, but when you're a recruit, you can't. That's what the NCAA is worried about. You're having a barbecue. Basically what that is, Cody, right? Compare that to Louisville, where, you know, the student-athlete, what do they call them? I'd say escorts, but that's not the right word. Right?
It's like a concierge, but that's not the word.
But that's somebody else,
yeah.
Right? That's somebody else. I'm talking about the guy, the advisor,
the
right?
The host?
The host. The student-athlete host, right? Because usually you're given a, you know, if you're the recruit on campus and you're staying a night, right, you're with one of the players. So Louisville, right, the recruits on campus are getting strippers. Bruce Pearl has the recruits over to his house plus the team for barbecue, and he lied about it. That's why he got fired at Tennessee.
Was the barbecue the problem or the line?
The line was, well, he thought the barbecue was the problem, and the barbecue may have been the problem. The barbecue may have been the problem.
Didn't get to that point.
But how big a scenario is that? The kid's going to choose to come to Tennessee because you fed him good barbecue?
Let me write you a check for the sausage I
bought
at the store. Yeah.
You know, you're giving the kid a good barbecue. Don't you take him out to dinner anyways? Aren't they taking out to dinner? So I don't even know if the barbecue is the problem. The lying was the problem because he thought it was an issue. And if Bruce Pearl, who's been around forever, and he's on tape as well, by the way, back in the day, if you want to see someone who's bounced back more than once, it's Bruce Pearl. All right, find out his deal, right? He was at University of Milwaukee, University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, right? Well, go Google Jimmy Collins and find out Bruce Pearl's little background. All right. He's not the cleanest guy either. And he's bounced back a couple of times. So if he wants to, Will Wade will bounce back. That's for sure. All right. There you go. That's good. All right. I don't know. What do you think he's going to do, Cody? What do you think will happen when Will Wade takes the stand April 22nd? And we're assuming he is going to take the stand. And the lawyers aren't going to get out of it for the sake of the argument. Deny wrongdoing, admit violations, take the fifth. I'm going to say admit violations.
That's where I'm leaning towards, too, because the season will be over. Whatever happened during the season will have already happened.
Right, right.
So I think that
it will be interesting, and Ben Lovebetch brought it up yesterday. Will he ride it out? Will he ride it out? Take the hit, take the violations, and stay at LSU. Will LSU want to write him out? See, Ben was only talking about one side of it. You know, it wasn't like, you know, a booster or something like that. This is Will Wade on tape. This isn't an assistant coach that, you know, Will Wade can say, I don't know anything about, yada, yada, yada. This is Will Wade. So, you know, he may want to write it out. We'll see if LSU wants to write it out. And we'll see how far this goes. Again, he's supposed to meet with the media today. I don't think he's going to, Cody. I don't think he's going to. He's going to blow that off. You know? And how much can you talk about Vanderbilt anyways? Right.
I mean,
have not won a game in the SEC, right? Aren't they winless in the SEC?
Right, but they also came very close to beating Tennessee. So that's
one
of those
like a month ago.
It was
at least a month ago, maybe even a month and a half.
It was
ago.
During it was
and in Vanderbilt.
It was like either my
that crazy.
Wedding, it was either my wedding weekend right. or the week of the honeymoon. Because I remember talking to a guy in the store who's a Tennessee fan, and he was, you know, moaning and complaining. Tennessee should have never even been that close with Vanderbilt. And I remember, so it had to have been around that time.
Not now. It was before that. It was January 23rd. Or 20.
Well before that.
That's not all right. Hold on. Maybe the 28th. What? Yeah, 88-83 in overtime. At that point, Vanderbilt was 9-9, and they were 0-6 after that loss.
So he was just still. He was like you. He was just still bitter
he's
about
still
a thing
upset.
That happened weeks ago. He was. They won the game, and he's still mad about it.
He had a win and move on. They came from behind, right in that wacky court.
Where you're 4 feet above
right.
the floor. I don't.
The yeah. crazy court.
You sit under the baskets.
Right. On the baseline.
Yeah.
They're 9-21. They have not won a game in the SEC.
Baseball season's here for Vandy, though. They're excited about that.
They just lost.
Well, look, they're still excited about baseball season. Give them a break. They haven't won an SEC game in basketball.
Goodness.
I feel their pain. Maybe not a winless SEC run for the LSU, but I have been there where it's like,
yeah,
baseball,
there.
Baseball.
Yeah. They lost to Arkansas 69-66.
Nice.
Oh, did you see a receipt online last night, Cody?
Uh-oh, I don't think I did.
Someone posted their receipt, $69, 69 cents.
It's so nice, it should have been free. Right. If you somehow accomplish that is your subtotal. You should. It's on the house.
Right. Yeah. I mean, they lost to A&M by 7. Arkansas just beat them 84-48. They are trying not to get hurt. And it's a 7:30, it's a nighttime game, which is odd. And again, before anybody complains, it's an LSU deal. We don't have the baseball game on. I would have rolled the dice. I would have played at 3, well, they are playing, 2:30 pregame show, 3 o'clock first pitch. I would have rolled right in that. You know, your radio stations, your network affiliates could have had LSU all day long. And then you know what? You make an executive decision. If it's a blowout, you bail. But I doubt it's a blowout. Cole Henry making his first weekend start. You know, I've said the Cajuns are going. How crazy is that? The Cajuns are having the same pitching rotation 2 weekends in a row. LSU, I mean, they've already, the 2 guys who were in the weekend are not there anymore. Right? Didn't Jaden Hill start the first outing? Right? Did the second outing too, right? He pitched twice.
He's got 2 weekend starts.
Yeah. Now Marceau is out, and Hill's still banged up. Who saw that coming? The LSU pitching staff in flux, and the Cajuns back-to-back weekends with the same starters. We'll see how effective they are. Loyola Marymount coming in here. We'll cover tonight's game. I think we're going to go to the STM state title game tomorrow. Probably a pit stop at the Golden Nugget. All right, not a bad idea. How far is Buc-Buc-Ee's is too close to Houston? Buc-Ee's is right outside of Houston, right? It's not outside of Beaumont.
Yeah, maybe not right outside, but yeah, it's, I think it's
like a half an hour outside.
I think it's
Houston.
Much closer to Houston than it is.
I would go to Buc-Ee's. I would make a pit stop at Buc-Ee's, but that's not really in driving.
If you do go, bring me some beaver nuggets.
Okay, all right. All right, Gary Koch, 8 o'clock. Brody Miller, 8:32. Much more Sports Chat to go on a fired up Friday morning Sports Chat, 103.7. The game. All right. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning Sports Chat. Gary Koch talking Bay Hill. We will, it was recorded yesterday. I'll let the cat out of the bag on that one because I can't talk to him about, you know, Phil Mickelson hitting a right-handed shot and hitting it up against the fence and still finishing like 4 under. And we'll see if Brody Miller will get up at 8:32. We'll let him sleep in for 45 minutes. What about this one, Cody? I mean, this is crazy. I don't know if you can find it. Ed Orgeron did this. When asked about Grant Delpit, by the way, if you haven't seen the news, Grant Delpit wearing number 7. When asked about it, Ed Orgeron said, it's a better choice than I made last year. Whoa. You know who got it last year, Cody?
I remember.
Who got it last year?
Jonathan Giles?
Yes.
For about 5 games?
He's still on the team.
Yeah.
It's the first day after spring practice and you're crushing somebody on your team publicly?
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the honesty. But the head coach is trolling Jonathan Giles? Goodness gracious. It's funny. And if we got, you know, if we can get Ed Orgeron to say it in Ed Orgeron style, then it'd be good to hear, but meanwhile, Jonathan Giles quote tweeted, bet, yeah, there it is, @_JGiles. He just says bet, .. Ed Orgeron and Grant Delpit wearing number 7. It's a better choice than I made last year. Oh, my goodness. Kelvin Joseph, keep your head up. Braden Fajoco, head up and keep working, brother. We came here together. We're going to ride it out. Love you, bro. The LSU players picking up one of their teammates. Goodness gracious, that's harsh. I mean, it's one of those things that's obvious, right? I mean, Grant Delpit's going to probably be a first-round pick next year, right? And Jonathan Giles struggled mightily last year. But we don't have to put him down publicly, do we? Not like that, anyway. And don't come with a whole snowflake or anything like that. tough love or something like that. You just don't do that. You just don't do that. Coach Chris says he can't plead the fifth. He's not on trial. If he denies and then proof comes out, he's in much more trouble, not with the NCAA, but with the feds. Correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't Wade, Miller, and Pitino the only head coaches on tape? Others blamed the assistant. Well, again, I'm no lawyer, but see who can take the fifth. All right. There's plenty of people not on trial who take the fifth. And I'm no attorney, but again, I wouldn't take the fifth because I think you're losing your job then anyways. 55% say that he's going to deny wrongdoing. That is not going to happen. 10% say he's going to admit violations. 32% say he's going to take the fifth. Wow. That's like 87% say he's going to do the wrong thing.
Ye of little faith.
Remember, the fifth is only so he doesn't get prosecuted.
You just don't incriminate yourself.
Yes,
right? Isn't that
for laws broken, right? Not NCAA violations. Remember, we have two very different things here, right? We're talking about freedom and your career. They're very different.
Yeah.
And, you know, and if it's saying, well, you know, the guys who got busted and found guilty of this right now are going to 6 months or 9 months. You want to go to jail for a school year? School year is 9 months? You want to go to jail for 9 months? I don't. I don't even care if it's, you know, minimum security where these guys are going to go. They have families? Who wants to go to jail? No. He's going to tell the truth. Tell the truth! We'll find out. We'll do a little Google search there in the Gary Koch interview.
There you go.
Because, yeah. Plenty of witnesses get on the stand that are not on trial and take the fifth. I think.
It doesn't look great, I suppose.
No.
Will Wade.
No.
If he sits up there and they're like, did you give whoever money to come play? I plead the fifth.
If he's taking the fifth, and that's not supposed to be the case, there's much more to the story.
Right.
What if he says, I tried, but I didn't. Attempted payments.
So that would be just an NCAA violation?
First degree violation compared to third degree? Or I guess in this case, third degree NCAA violation instead of first degree? I don't know how that is, you know.
What section of the Constitution we have to refer to now.
Yeah. Goodness, what's the other one? Will Coach Will Wade be coaching LSU 2019-2020. 57% say no. 36 yes. Only 7% shut up. I like the questions this morning, Cody. Only 7% tell me to shut up in one and 4% the other.
Might be new records.
Usually I'm in the line of fire. All right. We'll take a time out from the Will Wade discussion that's been dominating the conversation, obviously. Let's go out to, we'll take a break. All right. We will be back. We'll talk with NBC and Golf Channel golf analyst Gary Koch, covering the Bay Hill Invitational. All right. Back after this on Acadiana Sports Station on a fired up Friday morning sports chat. Almost an hour until the weekend. Woohoo! Back after this, 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. This is Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com. KLWB, Karen Crow Lafayette. Just after 8 o'clock. And Sports Chat with Dave Schultz starts now. Connect on Facebook or follow on Twitter at 1037 The Game.
It's a formidable scent. Stings the nostrils.
Listen live with the 1037 The Game mobile app or online at 1037thegame.com.
All right, place your bets. Here we go.
And now, Dave Schultz.
Super team.
It's on right now.
Going day to day. I never knew the difference. I never cared.
side. We're reaching out with both hands. I gotta feel the kick inside.
Good morning, Acadiana. Dave Schultz, Cody Schutz on a fired up Friday morning sports chat on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. Let's go out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline. We got a little Bay Hill Invitational. Obviously, that's where Arnold Palmer hosted the tournament. And let's talk to Gary Koch from NBC Sports. He'll have coverage on the Golf Channel Friday and then into the weekend on NBC. Gary, Dave Schultz, thanks so much for joining me on Sports Chat. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. A beautiful day here in Orlando. A little crisp this morning, but blue skies and gentle breezes. We'll expect to see some good scoring.
All right. Is there anyone better than when he's at his best than Dustin Johnson right now?
I would say of all the young guys, when Dustin is on his game and every aspect of his game is working, he is clearly the best. Yeah, I don't think there's any question about it. We saw a great example of that just a couple of weeks ago down in Mexico at the WGC event there when he basically blew away the field. I mean, shot 21 under par and beat Rory McIlroy, who's not too bad himself, by 5 and the next guy by 10. So, he is clearly the best when all aspects of his game are on.
What do you think has changed in his game? Specifically, you know, coming back from a couple of years ago when, I guess, what it was, the Chambers Bay where he lost the U.S. Open?
Yes, correct. I think a couple of things, Dave. In talking to his instructor, Butch Harmon, for years they were trying to convince Dustin that he needed to play a fade, move the ball from left to right rather than from right to left. They felt like it would be a lot more consistent ball flight for Dustin, and especially the distance that he already hits the ball. So finally, about a year and a half ago, he committed to that. I think that's made a huge difference. The other is about 2 years ago, according to Butch, they figured out, looking at all the statistics from shot length, that he was having a tremendous number of shots from 150 yards and in, which obviously makes sense when you drive the ball as far as he does. And he needed to get better in that area of his game with his short irons. Spent a tremendous amount of time working on that, and if you look at statistically, he's improved his accuracy and proximity to the hole dramatically over the last couple of years, and you combine those two things, and all of a sudden you've got the best player in the world.
Talking to Gary Koch on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, coverage of the Bay Hill Invitational on Golf Channel today and then on NBC Sports over the weekend. Any concern about Tiger Woods' health?
Well, I think everyone is. For him to miss an event here at the Arnold Palmer Invitational where he's won 8 times, Tiger put out a statement saying it was a neck strain, it was no big deal, and he expected to be back soon. I think next week will be very telling. The Players' Championship, having moved from May to March, big event, obviously, very flagship event for the PGA Tour. If for some reason he does not show up there next week and can't play, then I think concerns would be legitimate.
Again, talking to Gary Koch on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, coverage of the Bay Hill Invitational on the Golf Channel today and then over the weekend on NBC Sports. What do you make it out with these first-time winners? Is that a thing now that we get a lot of first-time winners? Is that early on? I feel like that always seems to be like all the quarterbacks that are hurt, and they're always hurt every year. But we had Keith Mitchell last week at the Honda Classic, and then before that, our guy in Puerto Rico, Martin Trainer, who played here last year at the Chitimacha Louisiana Open. He's won. What is it with the new guys winning? Is it they're just not intimidated anymore, or they're more comfortable out there? Or what do you attribute all the new winners in recent years on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, Dave, I think a lot of it has to do with most of these guys are coming off the Web.com Tour, kind of the AAA league of the PGA Tour. Everything is done out there exactly the same as it is on the PGA Tour, how you register for tournaments, how you play your practice rounds, how you play the pro-am. So when guys get out here on the PGA Tour, it's not that new to them. The golf courses may be, but how they go about doing things has become very normal for them. So I think there's a comfort level with these guys that maybe younger generations, years ago didn't have. before the web.com was so prevalent. Also, you know, one of the things about that tour, that web.com tour, you have to shoot really low scores if you're going to win. And I think that trains these guys to play golf very aggressively. That's their nature, their style. And it seems to be the way that guys play and win tournaments on the PGA Tour nowadays. So they're very well prepared when they come out.
Well, let's talk a little Ricky Fowler, shall we? He did finish tied for second at the Honda Classic, so he's playing pretty well heading into this weekend. Is it a big year for him, or it always seems to be a big year for him? That everyone's waiting for him to break through into the major category. How close do you think he is?
I think he's very close. He had an impressive win in Phoenix a few weeks back, you know, where he kind of gave the lead away and then roared back over the closing five holes with a couple of birdies when he needed them to win. Played extremely well last week. You know, I'm like everybody else. I will not be surprised at all when Ricky does win that first major, and I think he will. I'm surprised that it has taken him this long to get there. But, you know, there's only four of them every year, so it's not like your odds are that great. You know, you have to have your A game plus on the right weeks, and so far he's been close, but hasn't gotten there. But I think this is a big year. He just turned 30, and you know, most guys will tell you that their prime years are, you know, late 20s to, say, mid to late 30s, when a combination of your physical skills and your mental skills seem to blend the best. Oftentimes when the guys come out when they're young, their physical skills outweigh their mental, and then as you get older, your physical skills start to wane a little bit, but you're still mentally strong. So he's really entering a period, to me, where everything should come together, and very important if he's going to get that major or that first one. It probably needs to come in pretty quickly.
All right, let's wrap it up here with Gary Cope. Coverage of the Bay Hill Invitational on the Golf Channel today, and then on Saturday and Sunday on NBC Sports. Your thoughts on Steve Stricker as the Ryder Cup captain for the U.S.?
Well, Dave, I think it was kind of a natural. Stricker has been involved, you know, combination of playing in international team competition, President's Cups, Ryder Cups. He's been around as the President's Cup captain, you know, in 2017. He's been an assistant captain to different guys. So he knows the drill. He knows exactly what needs to be done to put together a team to compete against the Europeans. So, you know, he's a very well-liked guy, and I think that goes a long way as well as far as the other players are concerned, that, you know, they're going to be playing for somebody that they all like. And I think he'll do a great job. He seems to be, you know, very detail-oriented. I don't think anything will be overlooked, and I'd be very surprised if the U.S. team doesn't have some success there at Whistling Straits.
All right, been a big fan of this gentleman for a long, long time. Gary Cope, Golf Channel coverage today, NBC Sports coverage of the Bay Hill Invitational over the weekend. He was on the ARCO Equipment Hotline. Gary, thank you so much. It's a big pleasure, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
All right, sounds great, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, big pleasure having him on. He's as good as it gets on the Golf Channel. Let's see, Cabrera Bayo is winning at 7-under. Bubba Watson is at 6-under. Tommy Fleetwood, 6-under. I thought I saw, well, some of these guys have already teed off this morning, of course. Bubba Watson, 2-under on the day. I thought I saw Mickelson was at 4-under. How about Graham McDowell is up there at 4-under? Patrick Reed, Baton Rouge's own Patrick Reed, 4-under, 2-under on the day already. Phil Mickelson, he was 4-under. He's 1-over on the day. Started on the backside. He's -3. And again, no Tiger Woods. Yeesh. Not good. All right, let's take a timeout. We'll reset when we come back. Well, let's talk a little Cajuns baseball, shall we? We really haven't dove into that. Have they turned it around? All right, have they gotten to the corner? Again, I don't know much about Loyola Marymount. And they did give up 10 more runs, you know, 2 days ago. And had a really tough, let's just say, sixth inning. Is that considered tough? Three pitchers and eight runs? Cody, is that tough? Or was it four? It was four pitchers
That is.
It took four pitchers to get out of the eighth, to get out of the sixth inning, leading 11-1.
I think you can qualify that as tough.
That's tough. Yeah, yeah. 12-10 at the end of eight. Cajuns tack on four in the ninth for their 16-10 victory. But they do have momentum, four in a row. And let's see if they can win the series against Loyola Marymount. All right, and we'll see if we can wake up Brody Miller at 8:32, talk LSU football and baseball. Cole Henry going into the weekend rotation. All right, back after this. On a fired up Friday morning sports chat, 107, the game. All right, so the new computer is off to get fixed, Cody. We'll see if that works out. It just wasn't working as good as it should be. And I don't think my standards are all that high. I waited a month before we even did it, maybe too long. But we'll hopefully have that back next week. Meanwhile, honestly, Cody, the glasses that I've been wearing for also 2 or 3 months, if not longer, have been a prescription from like 2 years ago, if not 3 years, more than three years ago. The new glasses arrive Monday. They look the same. They're a little brown compared to black. But maybe I'll be able to see. All right. Meanwhile, Raging Cajuns baseball hosting Loyola. Let's see what their stats are, right? They went from a 5.08 ERA in 1 week to a 3.5 ERA 4 games later. Then they played McNeese. Then they gave up 8 runs in the sixth inning. They were leading 11-1. They won 16-10. All earned, by the way. That's going to leave a mark. ERA back up over 4.02. Some of these are not pretty ERAs, and they don't have very many innings pitched, right? Caleb Armstrong, 7.71. Yeesh. Grant Cox, a 9. Chance Stone, 11. Brandon Young, 15. Connor Cook, 19.8. Hashtag, there's always a bright side. At least it's not a 20. Jack Burke, who is nowhere to be found for the most part, 32.4. These are ERAs. Okay, Cody, or maybe it's the way the stats come out, but Orin Vian, who pitched, was that against Sam Houston, I think? He's got a 99 ERA, but he really can't because according to the stats, he doesn't have any innings pitched. You know what that makes his ERA, right?
Infinity?
Infinity.
Infinity.
Yeah. On the other side of the ledger, Gunnar Leger hasn't given up an earned run in 2 starts. Although the reason for the unearned runs last time was his own error. Brock Batty has a 1 ERA, giving up 1 run in 9 innings. Blake Schultz, no relation, 1.23 ERA in 3 outings, 1 start. And where is the other Schultz, Cody? What do they got against Schultz's?
I didn't realize.
Oh, there he
is.
Jacob
one.
Schultz. There you go. Because he's on top. 0.90 ERA. 3 runs, 2 hits, 6 walks, 7 strikeouts. Opponents hitting 169 against Jacob Schultz. Michael Lomont, although he does have 2 losses in 5 appearances, he does have a couple of saves. Opponents hitting 178 against Michael. There's your closer. Dalton Horton, a 2 ERA in 3 starts, 1-0. And Austin Perrin, 3.86 ERA. 7 runs, 17 hits, 16 in the third innings. Opponents hitting 279. So you'll have Gunner go Friday. You'll have Dalton Horton go Saturday. And Austin Perrin go Sunday. Shall we compare those stats? Is that fair? I mean, they both played Texas.
I'm going to say,
right?
I mean, stats.
I would tell you that UL's had a tougher schedule so far, right? Texas and Sam Houston versus Texas against, you know, the military academies and Bryant.
Right. Sam Houston was in a big tournament with a couple of top 15 teams
I
remember seeing last weekend.
Okay.
Lost both. They played Mississippi State and forget, it was another top 10 team, top 15 team, and they lost both of their games, but they were like two-run games, one-run games, right. I saw.
All right, so Zach Hess, 5.68 ERA. Opponents hitting, wait for it, 296.
And get me a bat.
Landon Marceau, 8.53 ERA. He's no longer in the rotation.
Self-explanatory.
He goes from Saturday to the bullpen or the midweek. But opponents only hitting 213 against him. The problem is the 8 walks in the 12 and two-thirds innings, which Zach Hess has as well. Jaden Hill's got a good ERA, 1.80 in 2 ball games, but he ain't pitching this weekend again. And only opponents hitting 1.62. Mikhail Hilliard, 2.08 ERA, which is impressive because he's only got 4 1/3 innings. You know, you give up 2 runs in that, your ERA's blown up.
Right.
He's only given up 1 earned run. Todd Peterson, 2.84 ERA, and that's with the bad outing against Texas, right? Cole Henry. See, here you go. He's got 4 walks, 10 punch-outs, and 8 2/3 innings. But opponents are hitting .333 against him. So he's throwing strikes.
Yeah.
4.15 ERA. That could be one bad outing. I'm sure I've told this story before, Cody, right? All you want to hear when these guys say, just throw strikes, right? Just get it over the plate, you know? Even if they hit it, at least it was a strike, right? Well, we had a reliever, and actually Brent Strom was the roving pitching instructor for, as how long ago it was, the Expos. 2004. And it's a closer, and it's the bases loaded. And he threw one to the backstop on the fly. I got on the radio, and I'm in jest, probably shouldn't have said it, but I'm joking, right? That's the worst 3-2 pitch in the history of baseball. Even if you do one thigh high over the plate and he hits it 500 feet, at least it was a strike.
Right.
Brett Strom heard it on, he was landed, he heard it on the radio. He did not like that. He's now the pitching coach of the Astros. He did not like me saying that's the worst 3-2 pitch of all time.
Yikes.
I got spoken to after that.
Poor timing and all that.
Yeah. Why couldn't the plane been late?
Right.
But, I mean, I was just joking. You know?
Well, I mean,
I'm sure I said that, too. Right.
But you may have not been wrong.
I mean, yeah, he airmailed it, you know. It wasn't even a breaking ball. He just uncorked a fastball nowhere near the plate. Nowhere near the batter, right to the backstop on the fly. 3-2 pitch. So even if you walk him, right, on a pitch that just misses, at least the catcher caught it.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see how LSU does. So we're hoping Zach Hess, 3 runs or less tonight?
Gotta be.
And how many innings?
I would love to see him, depending on how the sixth ends, and now I'm being very technical,
right,
get into the seventh. I'd love to see him finish the seventh, but maybe at least get into the seventh and get an out maybe or something. But, again, depending on how the sixth ends, don't go run him out there in the seventh and then get yourself into trouble and then take him out.
I am not that guy.
Yeah.
If you're going to put him out there just because you think he can go one or two more batters, get him out of there.
Right. And I feel like that's what happened with –
unless that's the plan – from the get-go. We want you to get this right-hander because the left-hander's coming in, unless that's the plan.
That's specific.
But don't say, you know, if one guy reaches, that's stupid.
We're looking for 6 1/3 innings out of Zach Hess tonight.
Right.
Like, no one says that.
All right, so let's see. Stats, recap. Let's see if it's in stats. What did he do the first game against ULM? Wasn't very good, right? 5 runs, 4 earned, 3 2/3 innings. Works into the fourth. That's against ULM. Against Bryant, was he much better? Against Bryant, yeah, he was. A little bit better anyways. 1 run, 4 hits, 5 innings, 2 walks, 6 punch-outs, 82 pitches. And again, remember, he's nursing a groin. That's not bad. I know you want to dominate Bryant, and he basically did. basically did. And then not so good against Texas, right? He went into the fourth and then didn't make it out. I mean, they lost 8-1, but he didn't do all that damage. All right. Not there. I hit the wrong thing. I think he gave up two runs in the third and then one more in the fourth? Something like that. So we'll see what Zach Hess can do. We will have that ball game on for you tonight, 6:30. It's 6:30 pregame, right, Cody? I'm looking right. He didn't pitch that well against Texas, no. 3 runs, 4 walks, 6 punch-outs, 95 pitches and 4 innings of work. That's just not going to work. He gave up a run in the third and 2 in the fourth. He's got to do better than that. You just got to do better than that.
And, yeah, 6:30.
6:30 pregame or 6:30 game?
Pregame.
Pregame. All right. 7 p.m.-ish first pitch. All right. We're going to wake up Brody Miller, at least try. We let him sleep in an extra 45 minutes. Back after this on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7. The game. All right. He's up. We let him sleep in. He's well rested. He is the LSU beat writer, in this case, football and baseball, which probably gets him a little bit off the hook today. It is Brody Miller from NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune. I feel like Hangout Fest is music right up your alley. Am I right on that?
Hey, man, you're throwing me under the bus, telling everybody I'm sleeping in? Come on. Got to keep some things behind the curtain.
I don't mind that. I would sleep in if I could. I don't mind sleeping in. You were working late. The point was, though, you were working late because there was a lot to go on. I get up at 2:30, hashtag humblebrag. I'm still working, Dave. Can I, you know, not do this morning show? We'll let you sleep in because, you know, Ed Orgeron says it out loud that he gives 7 to Grant Delpit because, you know, last year was a bad choice. It was a bad decision. Isn't Jonathan Giles still on the team? Jeez.
Jonathan Giles is indeed still on the team.
Oh, my goodness.
And Jonathan Giles kind of, he responded to it, actually.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he quote tweeted it and basically was just like, bet, dot, dot, dot.
Oh,
and
my that, goodness.
And a lot of the team kind of replied to it as well and replied to Giles' reply. I think it was the kind of thing where, I mean, I think he was, you know, Edgar was trying to be, he was being honest. He was trying to be kind of have kind of a genuine, frank moment. And I think, you know, it probably did get some good reactions, but it also, you know, you make comments like that and you can kind of anger your team. And we've seen him do it before. I remember after the Alabama game when he's challenging now, he needs better recruits on the offensive and defensive line. I mean, that's not all of a sudden that's going to anger your offensive defensive lineman when you say stuff like that. I mean, he has a small track record of doing things like this to kind of, I guess I'd say, like, win the room, but kind of frustrate his team. But I'm not going to make too much of this.
And also, not too much, but yeah.
Yeah, and to some extent, I bet he was also kind of also saying, like, hey, it was probably a mistake on my part to give it to somebody who had.
We lose you? Are you still there? We lost him. Where'd he go? All right, we'll try that again. All right. Well, right. Let's look at it from Ed Orgeron's point of view that, you know, I probably running a transfer, right? And we should have had somebody who had it, and I know what they can bring to the game. So that kind of deal. But it probably came out just a little bit wrong. And again, not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal. All right, are you there?
Yes, I'm
all
there.
Right. All right.
Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. So again, so yeah, maybe we're trying to see where you were saying that maybe he should have had somebody who he's seen play a little bit longer and more part of LSU instead of a transfer in, right?
Absolutely. And yeah. I think part of that was what he was trying to say, but it just came off a little harsher than that. But it was also probably a little bit of the harshness as well.
All right, we've heard this for years and years and years. They're going to open up the offense, but they've changed it again, right? They've brought in some more offensive guys. What is going on? I mean, how high-flying is this offense going to be?
Well, I mean, yeah, actually, if it's up to them, it's going to be pretty high-flying. I mean, as you know way better than me, that they've said this many times over the years, and sometimes, you know, things kind of cause it to revert back to what it was. And I think last year's the best example because, you know, almost everything they put in was to be pretty spread. And then, you know, things happen. Your pass protection's, you know, very troubled. And you have almost no healthy tight ends. And, you know, your receivers are pretty young. And all of a sudden, you can't really be the true spread you want to be. So I'm always going to be pretty skeptical. But yes, I do. I don't know how much the, the offense is going to fundamentally change, but I think Joe Brady is going to be bringing in a lot more RPO stuff, and more, not even more RPO stuff, but also just Joe Brady. And just not even more RPO stuff, but just more expertise on it, more how to make it actually work, you know? And I think also there's been a lot of comments just about how this offense is going to click so much better now that Joe Burrow's actually had a full offseason here. You know, he actually knows where he's going with it. You know, Ed Ogeron had an example of, you know, during 7-on-7 one day, he kind of turned to Dave Aranda, who's the best person to ask, and said, like, so what are you seeing out of the offense right now? And he's just like, I see a quarterback who knows exactly what he's doing out there. So I think things are going to spread out more. You know, I think, you know, even think of a guy like John Emery is probably going to be your number one running back, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Those are two guys who are also pretty versatile guys in the passing game. So I just think there's a lot of evidence that this is going to be a team that definitely tries to spread the ball around more this year and also just be more creative with a guy like Joe Brady.
I saw Stingley is already there, so he's entered school. He's an early enrollee. Did Emery early enrollee?
No. The only early enrollees are only four. There's Derek Stingley, Siaki Ika, T.K. McClellan is a junior college tight end, and Charles Turner, the center from IMG Academy. So, and yeah, I mean, Derek Stingley, obviously, we've been hearing since bowl practices when he started that he was already, you know, maybe the best cornerback on the team. So, yeah, there's going to be, I think that was with Fulton and all those guys out. But still, I think it's kind of safe to assume that, you know, Stingley's probably got a good shot at being the starting cornerback across from Christian Fulton. But, hey, Kelvin Joseph's going to create a good competition there. And then the bigger, you know, Ed Ogeron went out of his way to kind of several different times talk about how, you know, how much Apu Ika really dominated in his first practice. Granted, that's not without pads, so I'm not sure what's going into that domination. But, you know, he's somebody that really high on. Ed Ogeron even said on signing day that he thinks, or at least on the second signing day, said he's somebody who I think could play pretty early for this team. So, and we both know they need as much help as they can on the defensive line.
Brody Miller, Times-Picayune, and NOLA.com with us on the ARCO Equipment Hotline on Fired Up Friday Morning Sports Chat on a Kid and a Sports Station, 1037 The Game, 1037TheGame.com. All right, so what are the key positions outside of Stingley, which we already think he's going to start? Where other places do you think are the key positions? I mean, is tight end a key position in this offense? We wish that it was, but it usually isn't.
I would imagine it has a bigger role this year purely for one, by what the offense is going to look like compared to last year. Two, I think one of the most underrated parts is just having more bodies there. You know, last year they basically only had one tight end. This year you're going to have, in a perfect world, you're going to have 3 to 4 that you trust to use in games between McClendon, Moss, Pettigrew, and even some other guys. So I think it's going to be more involved. The one that I'm always going to go to, because the biggest question mark on this team is just the offensive line. I think there's a lot of interesting things that could happen there. You know, you're pretty confident Lloyd Cushenberry and David Lewis are going to be in their same spots. You probably assume Sadiq Charles probably has still, you know, a good lead at one of those tackle spots. But hey, that's two wide open spots. And Jason Hines, you know, would be one of the contenders at left guard, but, you know, he's out for, you know, he won't be able to do much this spring, so if at all. So, you know, that kind of limits our knowledge there. But I'm most interested in how do guys like Cameron Wire and Dare Rosenthal look this spring. You know, they're two guys who were true freshmen last year who, you know, Rosenthal 6'8", like, you know, 340 or something like that. Cameron Wire 6'7", 300. But here are really big, really athletic guys with long frames who have really, really high upside, and the stats really high on them. I mean, I've heard people rave about what they think both those guys are going to be. They just had a lot of development to do, and we'll find out this spring what they look like. But, you know, Ed Ogeron, and I've heard from other people that, you know, Dan Rosenthal might even move into guard some, and he already has. He's going to set a 6'8" guard, you know what I mean? So I think he's somebody who can provide some flexibility. So I'm really interested in what happens in those offensive line battles. And then the other biggest one to follow is just, you know, who replaces Devin White. Patrick Queen would be, you know, the assumed front runner there. He's definitely played well. But hey, Damone Clark's got some good reviews this offseason, and Micah Bastionville is somebody who has experience.
All right, has he given a weight on Tyler Shelvin? He usually says 350. I don't know how true that is.
Wow, great question.
He'll usually give you the weight where he is. He's lost 40 pounds, he's down to 350.
No, you're absolutely right. He has not thrown out a weight yet. That's a good point.
Okay.
But, yeah, no, he's brought up Shelvin. I mean, Shelvin's somebody who, had one of the more up and down 2018s of anyone on the team, right? I mean, he's somebody who came in, really overweight. Then he's somebody who, was basically held away from the team for 2 weeks because he wasn't losing weight. And that ended the season on a really strong note. He played well in just one of the last games of the season. He played well in the bowl game. So, he'd be the assumed front runner also for that nose tackle spot. And he's somebody who, if he can stay in shape, will probably earn it. But then you got Apuleika providing some depth there. I think that's another person to follow. But that's definitely one of the fun races to follow this spring.
Do we know who's in line to become the kicker?
Well, that's going to be a tough one to answer this spring just because, I think Katie York, the 2019 signee they brought in, I'd say he's probably who they expect to hopefully take that job. But he's not an early enrollee, so you won't really be able to see him until this summer and fall camp. So I don't think we're going to probably dive into that race too much. But, Connor Culp's still on the team. Jack Gonsolin's still on the team. We have there's a new addition on the roster from Louisiana who, looks to be a walk-on. So there'll be some people to watch, but no Katie York.
Colby Dole, who's he still on the team?
No, he is not on the team.
He's gone. We see him around here. We see him around here all the time. All right, let's wrap it up here. Let's talk a little baseball with Brody Miller from Times-Picayune and NOLA.com. You had a busy day yesterday, my friend. A little change in the weekend rotation. It wasn't Zach Hess. It was Landon Marceau out and Cole Henry in. What do you think about that?
Well, I was a little surprised. I think there's some validity to kind of the idea that, one of Landon Marceau's biggest strengths is that he's this really competitive, high-intensity, perfectionist type, and it works for him in a lot of ways. But, I think we saw against Texas and even some other times that can kind of go both ways, right? I mean, when you're having a tough time on the road at Texas in a really hostile environment and you're not pitching well, I think that exact intensity kind of really flustered him. And he's the first – he talked actually really openly and at length and admirably yesterday about how, I lost focus and I wasn't able to – be the pitcher I should be, which is really rare, especially for a freshman to talk that openly about, things you weren't doing right. But so I think the mentality behind this is, one, they clearly just need a change right now. They need to kind of shake things up to liven things up. But also, Paul Maneri wants to see, Landon Marceau prove Tuesday against Northwestern State that he can, he can handle a road environment, that he can do this, because the guy who's taking the spot Saturday, Cole Henry, who's he's also no slouch. He's one of those highly touted guys coming in this year too. He did prove against Texas. He came in a really tough spot and tied 3-3 game and pitched three. I mean, I was there. He looked filthy, to be honest with you. His stuff was fantastic, and he shut Texas down for three innings, gave up a double in the eighth. But that's about it. I mean, he looked really good. And one of the things Paul Maneri kind of said about him, he's not comparing his ability to Aaron Nola or anything like that, but. The comparison was he has that kind of even keel, never too high, never too lowness that Aaron Nola had. And, I did a feature on Nola last summer, and I talked to a lot of people about this, and I definitely see that comparison. I mean, I talked to Cole Henry after his first start 2 weeks ago, where he gave up 7 hits and 3 walks and 2.5 innings. And I mean, it was a terrible outing, and he's just like, it's just baseball. I'll be back next week. I'll be fine. He wasn't too angry. He wasn't too happy or anything. He was just, baseball, and I'll be back. So right. I do kind of buy that.
All right, you did write about the leadership. Apparently, you don't like the Jordan twins. Why was there a lack of leadership last year on this team?
Oh, come on. I got some really kind of interesting and honest answers about that. I think it was just a tough situation last year for so many different reasons in that department. You're losing 5 really good leaders, and your Kramer Robertsons, your Poches, your Cole Freeman's, your Dykeman's, and your Alex Lang. So it's 5 really good veterans who had these kind of traits I wrote about today. And I think last year, and Zach Hess was really open about this, was the tough part was you had guys who maybe were good leadership types, but they're not that experienced. So it's hard for them to jump into that role. And then you have guys who are really experienced and are really decorated and could be that leader, like an Antoine Duplantis or even Zach Hess is a sophomore who that's not really their skill set anyway. So you're asking this experienced guy to be a leader because he's experienced, but he's not really a leader. And then Josh Smith, who probably would have evolved into that role, he goes out for the season. So it was just this really weird mix of, there's nobody who could really be that. And I don't think it was anyone's fault, because Zach Hess tried really hard to be. I mean, Zach Hess was a very vocal, intense guy. And I think he tried, and there were times he succeeded, but it's hard when your main leadership's the pitcher, let alone when that pitcher's having his own struggles at times. So I just don't think there was a good fit there. And I think Paul Maneri saw that coming in the fall from what I've heard of that season.
All right.
So this year...
Finish up. Go ahead.
What?
I'm sorry. I thought you were done. Finish up.
So I just think this year you have a good mix of guys where Josh Smith can be that vocal guy, and that allows Antoine DePlantis to be the leader by example guy, which works better when you have somebody taking that other stuff off his plate.
All right. From NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune, Brody Miller, if you're ever in town, I don't know why you would be here, but I'm just saying, lunch is on me.
All right. Thanks, David. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Brody. All right. Yeah, go read that leadership one, because Antoine DePlantis is not it. It's a little bit disappointing. He's more of a, you know, leader by example. He's not a rah-rah guy. Maybe you can get Mondo to come in there and be the rah-rah guy. I still think Mondo DePlantis should be the pinch runner. I don't know why we don't have a... Can he be all-time pinch runner? All right, we'll be back. We'll find out who's going to the crawfish boil as we put a bow on another spectacular week. Is that a word? Spectacular week of Sports Chat. Back after this, 103.7 The Game. All right. Thanks to Brody Miller, great Gary Koch, and Dana O'Neill for hopping on. Let's check out the Twitter poll questions, shall we? We had a couple of good ones. Actually, they were all pretty good. We have two or three, Cody. We end up with three? Or just two? I thought it was three. Let's find out. All right. The first one was obvious. You know, do you think Coach Wade will be coaching LSU next year? Based on the Yahoo report, will Wade be the head coach of LSU basketball next season? 58% say no. 37% say yes. Only 5% telling me to shut up. A lot more were telling me to shut up before that Yahoo report came out. Maybe this was the only other one. What do you think will happen when Will Wade takes the stand? 52% deny wrongdoing. Oh my goodness. 6% say admit violations. 38% say take the fifth. Coach Chris did look it up for us. Anybody can take the fifth because it's against self-incrimination. But it's not, you know, it's not supposed to be admit guilt. But if you take the fifth, appearances don't look good. Ask the President of the United States what happens when you take the fifth. He's commented on that. All right, quickly, Cody, we're running out of time. Mardi Gras is over. Parades are over. Who's going to the crawfish boil this week?
Okay, the man who rides Daisy May to finals in December in the campus of LSU.
How cool is that, by the way?
I mean, that's called swag. Here's Devin White, number 9 on my compadre's top 50. Unofficially, let's see what Devin White does. 4-4-2.
Rich, giddy up.
Giddy up. Indeed.
Hear the little cackle. Rich Eisen telling Devin White can be there. You know why Devin White's going to be at the crawfish boil, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
That's right. All right, who else is going to be there?
Bet you they didn't lose many games.
4-3-8. Yeah, that doesn't hurt. Greedy on the 40-yard dash stripe as well.
Charles, they have one of the best defensive back coaches in the country.
A little love for, what was it, Corey Thompson, right? Or Corey Davis.
Right.
All right. So Grady Williams had to be faster than, you know, the linebacker. No, not 4-3-8. All right, who else is going to be there, Cody?
Back to Holiday, front court left. 12 to shoot. Drew drives the left slot. Shoots. Missed it. Left side of the rim. Rebound angle. Strip stolen by Payton. Up with it. Over the shoulder reverse. He scored it off the glass. I don't know how he made it, but he did.
That's Alfred Payton, former Raging Cajun, helping the Pelicans to a win earlier in the year. Or earlier in the week, I should say. What does Alfred have, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
Yeah, it's... Corey Davis is the basketball player, Cody. That's not the defensive back coach, is it? I don't think so. Who else is going to be there?
Obviously, they were hurting us on the pick and roll with both guys, with Favors. and Gobert rolling to the basket. But excuse me, I've been in there. I had a couple of beers. Sorry.
Had a couple of beers, you know. You can do that. You know why you can do that, Cody?
The heart and blood of winners.
No, that's what he's got. It's Corey Raymond from New Iberian. No, we're both wrong. All right. Let's quickly go. Who else?
Inbounds. It comes to Mays. Now to Waters. 4 seconds. Waters driving down the lane. Goes up and under. Layup good! With 0.5 seconds, we're tied 72-72.
And Tremont Waters has
the heart and blood of winners.
I still don't know what that means, but he's got it. All right, how about who's next?
Yeah, I mean, I think the hardest thing to do is win your regular season conference championship. You can get lucky in a tournament or get bad luck in a tournament. That stuff goes. But if you guys know how much I love consistency. If you can win your regular season conference championship, that means you're consistent.
We'll bring Will Wade, and we won't ask him any questions either. All right? We'll just give him the crawfish. All right? This will be a little bit long, and we'll cut it off. Who's last, Cody?
Two clues left, Ryan.
800.
These penalties are simultaneous violations by the offense and defense that cancel each other out. And they are called offsetting penalties. Let's look at the $1,000 clue just for the fun of it. Jimmy?
That is Alex Trebek. No one got the purple people eaters, which was the question, all right? And even Alex Trebek goes, if you get this one, I will die. We wish Alex Trebek all the best in his fight against cancer. All right, again, thanks to Dan O'Neill from The Athletic, Gary Cook from NBC Sports and the Golf Channel, Brody Miller as well. Coming up next, it's the Rap Game with RP3, the Jim Rome Show, the Jordy Holtberg Show featuring Jordy Holtberg, Bumper to Bumper Sports, 4 to 6:30. LSU baseball against Cal, 6:30 tomorrow. STM De La Salle, state title game, 145 on 97.7 The Rewind, 13:30 a.m. Please, everybody, have a safe weekend. We'll be back on Monday, 103.7 The Game.